When you get done figuring out what spelling of you're going to use in your text messages on your phone as you're listening, we greatly appreciate it when you go ahead and leave us feedback and star ratings in the iTunes store. It helps more and more people discover the podcast and really helps grow RHAP. So to leave us a review on iTunes, just go to robhaswebsite.com/iTunes and leave us your honest feedback and star ratings in the iTunes store. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a guy who is slower in real life than CC is on the balance beam. Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our voicemail edition of Rob Has a Podcast here for episode number 3 of Survivor Millennials versus Gen X. And I'm very excited today to have Haley Strong with us back here on the podcast. Of course, you could hear her on all of our Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise wrap-ups on the website. Earlier today, I had a very fun interview with my friend Aris Bushkowskis, who was here in the studio with me. Came in, we had some In-N-Out Burger, we had a podcast, lots of fun. The podcast is up now. The video should be up as well. At this point, hope you check that out. And of course, my exit interview with Paul is available on the website as well. So hope you can check out that along the way. All right, everybody. I'm very excited to have this guest with us back here on the Survivor voicemails. A little bit of Survivor Robin's podcast trivia that the last time she appeared on the voicemails was also the same day that Aris Bushkowskis was on a Survivor recap. Please welcome back the longtime co-host of the Bachelor Wrap-Up Show here on robinswebsite.com, the great Haley Strong. Haley, how are you?
Like salt and vinegar chips and champagne, Aris and I make a good pairing.
Yes. That's what I was thinking also. Haley, I know you're all pumped up this week about the Blue Jays. I know nothing about baseball excitement right now, but I'm happy for you.
I'm very excited. This is the second time in my life since infancy that I've actually had like a baseball team filling me with joy. Also anxiety. What I've learned from having a team in the playoffs is that having a good team really heightens my anxiety. So it makes baseball almost like not super fun to watch because I'm like on the verge of a panic attack, like 24/7, but
a Joe panic attack.
Hey, I thought you weren't going to be talking about the Giants.
Right. Sorry. Now. Sorry.
Poor spot for you. I thought.
Yes.
But I guess we could make it right by talking about Survivor. Get it? Because I made a baseball pun.
Right. Well, it's so funny because that one of the first things I learned about you when I first encountered you way back when was that you were a huge fan of David Wright. So it's only fitting that we get to talk about some David Wright here today, just not the one that we expected to.
Yeah, it's funny how it comes full circle, but I don't have a bleacher creature of Survivor David Wright.
Yes. Yes.
No plush dolls of him in my house.
Whoa. What kind of dolls?
Bleacher creature.
Okay. All right.
Google that. I have one of David Wright and I have one of Jose Bautista because I love them both.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, Haley, very excited to talk with you about this today. Everything here on the Survivor voicemail show. I guess where I wanted to start off with you, this is very exciting to talk to you because not only are you a millennial, an expert on the millennial lifestyle, right? You text with the letter U, correct?
Yeah. And I have 3 jobs. I still live at my parents' house and I have a ton of student debt. What more millennial can I get?
Yes. But also as our expert love analyst, as somebody who has recapped what? 5 seasons of The Bachelor? 6?
No, it's 8. My God. Okay. So it's been 3 seasons of The Bachelorette, 2 seasons of The Bachelor, and 3 of Bachelor in Paradise.
Okay.
Plus a couple episodes of, you know, Coupled and 90 Day Fiancé and The Bachelor Canada.
Yes. All right. So you're a true expert in reality TV romances and even showmances. So I would just love to start off by getting your take on the Figgy and Taylor relationship.
I mean, they're 2 hot people. Obviously, they would want to make out with each other. I can't imagine wanting to make out with somebody when they're that gross and I'm that gross. Like, I don't even want to touch my boyfriend when we're both like teeth brushed. Like, never mind Island.
Yeah. So as somebody who follows The Bachelor so closely, do you root for romance on Survivor or do you feel like you're getting enough of it elsewhere?
No, I how do I put this? Like, I always enjoy the showmance, because what I personally watch Survivor for is like the super interesting social dynamics. And I think that romance is always an interesting dynamic. And it's even more so in an environment where like, that's not like the forced agenda. So it's interesting how like a love connection can grow in a situation where, you know, you're at your rawest form and you're gross and dirty. So do I root for romance? I mean, I enjoy seeing it, but I understand that it's like not great gameplay. And it's not always a very good game move unless you're Barab and Amber.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I think it's fun to see, because especially since we haven't seen it in a while, but I can get why other people don't want that on their television.
As somebody who's watched so many reality TV romances, do you think that the Failer / Figgler, do you think that they have staying power, Haley?
No, they only have boning power. They're gonna
boning power.
Yeah, they're gonna do it in Ponderosa and maybe hook up when she goes to LA to visit him, but like they're not going to be a couple.
How dare you? Aren't you a romantic?
Sure. I mean, you could consider me that.
Do you feel like that they were doing a good job of hiding the showmance when they went to go meet with the Gen Xers?
No, Taylor needs to tape that thing down. Like, come on, buddy.
Okay. Well, since we're talking about Survivor, Millennials versus Gen X and The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, here's a question for you, Haley, from Bobby from Jersey. I want to ask you about America's favorite Gen Xer, Kendall.
Hey, Haley and Rob. It's Bobby from Jersey here. This question is for Haley. I'm really digging Ken so far this season. I feel like he's got a good game. Seems like a good dude. But if this whole Survivor thing doesn't work out, wouldn't he like be the perfect bachelor? I think it'd be a great season. What do you think about that?
Haley, what do you think of this? Ken?
Yeah.
He doesn't like... First off, let's just say that we should call him by his real name, Ken. He doesn't like being called Kendall because...
When you're a boy, like the last thing you want to be referred to is a plastic Barbie with no penis.
Plastic Barbie with no penis?
Taylor could really benefit from that.
Why?
You know why, Robert. This is a family podcast. I save that smut for my podcast.
Yeah. Wow. So, yeah, is a Kendall... A plastic Barbie with no penis? I mean, that seems like that is not how I would define a Ken doll. It almost makes it sound like a Barbie doll has anatomically correct male genitalia.
No, they're just both Barbies and Kens are just like flat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As somebody who's raising two sons, you might not have come across that, but
I mean, my sister used to have Barbie and Kens. I know. I understand. I'm familiar
you don't need to get defensive.
I just said that if somebody asked me to describe a Ken doll, I wouldn't call it
a plastic Barbie with no penis.
I don't know, but anyway, that being said, all right, so Ken, could you see him as a bachelor? Would he be a good fit?
Yeah, he's hot, he's semi-intelligent, and he can sort of speak, and he's one of those people who like anyone could fall in love with, like right off the bat. And that's exactly what you want for the bachelor lead.
Now, Michelle, who said that she would like to be one of the contestants on The Bachelor, spoil our social media segment, I think that she is also taken with Ken. Could that be a match?
I would love to see that. See, and you told me I don't root for romance. Come on, Michelle, get with Ken. I'd love it.
Yeah.
I would like all of those photos and an Instagram.
Yes. Are you as taken with Ken as many of our female listeners are?
No, because I have fallen in love with somebody else this season.
Who?
Zeke. I am so deeply in love with him. It's not even funny. Like, he is like the perfect man for me. He has like a cute mustache. He rocks a Hawaiian tee. And I bet he snuggles real good.
Yes. Well, I think it's a perfect match.
I think so. Rob, can you set it up? Please, you're going to be talking to him at some point this season.
Yes, yes. Well, I will do what I can to set it up. I think that would be perfect. Well, how
do you think I should just slide into his DMs or what?
Yes.
Like, what would you suggest I do?
Mm. I don't have a lot of great suggestions. What you should not do is reach out, and if he tells you he will talk to you later, do not keep pressing the issue. He does not seem to like this.
Really? Because that's my move usually.
No, he doesn't seem to enjoy that. Did you have sympathy for Zeke during his interaction with Hannah?
Yes, but I am always the Hannah in that situation.
Me too.
It's like, no, like, here's my point. No, you have to listen to my point. No, listen. No, stop. I'm not taking that. So I felt for Zeke, but I like had a connection with Hannah right there.
And since we're talking about Thaler and Zeke and Ken, let's get into a question about some of the power duos in this season. Let's go ahead and take this question from Lawson.
Hey, Robin Haley. This is Lawson. I'm wondering if you will do a ding, marry, kill with the Survivor power couples. There's Taylor and Figgy, Ken and David, and let's throw Adam and Zeke in as the third couple.
Do you have a ding, marry, kill for Thaler, Ken and David, and then Adam and Zeke?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Okay. All right, where are you going?
So I'm going marry with Ken and David. They just seem like a really solid couple that are going to be with each other till the end. David showed Ken an idol, which I assume is like a promise ring in Survivor Land.
Yeah.
Okay. This is tough for me because I love Zeke so much that it's like you kind of want him in the ding section.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm worried that him and Adam are going to be cut, like one of the two. And then whichever one doesn't get cut will be free to fly wherever they want.
Mm-hmm.
But Taylor and Figgy, like, I feel like they would be painful to be around.
Why?
Because they're like touching each other all the time. Like, do you want to go to dinner with somebody who's like touching the other person? They're like, let's make out everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel where Michaela's coming from. Like, stop your smacking near my ear. I don't want to listen to it.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Thank you. So yeah, okay. So I'm gonna kill Thaler and I'm going to ding Zadum.
Yeah. Zadum, is that what we're going with?
Well, Eek doesn't sound great.
Yeah, Zadum. Okay, I could live with Zadum. I think that's pretty strong. And then what about...
No, I'm strong.
Yeah, I got it. I got it. You're underscore strong. And then what
strong
about...
underscore. Yeah. Come on, Rob.
And then what about Ken and David?
What about them? I just like them.
Name?
Oh, shoot. Sorry. Den? Because Den? You want to snuggle... Yeah, you want to snuggle with them in your den?
It's so basic.
Well, what do you want from me? Cavid? That sounds like a DJ that I don't want to listen to at a rave that I'm not going to.
At Burning Man?
There is nowhere I'd rather go less than Burning Man.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying.
I just have like this whole thing against like concert festivals where people are like smoking pot near me for 4 days straight and they haven't showered.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like dust flying everywhere and it's just not where I want to be.
It does seem dusty.
It seems so dusty. I look at the pictures and I'm like, that's a lot of dust for so little clothing.
Now, this is surprising to me because I thought millennials like to try things, Haley, and this does not sound very millennial to me.
I'm too cheap to try Molly, okay?
That was pretty cheap.
I know some millennials that do like to try things, and those happen to be Sunday's kids. At Tribal Council, Jeff was talking about the differences between Gen Xers and millennials. And Sunday said that her kids, who are millennials, they do like to try different things.
And I feel like my kids that are millennials, they'll give anything a try. They'll try it with anybody, and they'll try it 80 different ways.
Whoa.
That seems like a lot of effort to me.
Yeah, they will give anything a try.
Oh.
They'll try it with anybody, and... they'll try it 80 different ways.
I hope that Michigan has a good health class in their schools because, like, whoa.
Whoa. Yeah. I mean, that's even Boston Rob had trouble finding 80 different ways to travel, and he's not even a millennial.
Like, my kids that are millennials, they'll give anything a try. They'll try it with anybody, and they'll try it 80 different ways.
Wow.
Maybe anything? She needs to try more helicopter parenting.
Right?
I'd say.
Anything with anybody 80 different ways.
I don't know where you'd find the time, to be honest with you.
Even Figgy and Taylor, I don't even think, are attempting that.
Not till Ponderosa.
Yeah.
They're going to have their own sex cabin, like, I swear. If the cabana is a rockin', don't come a knocking.
Yeah, well, those will be some good Ponderosa videos when we get to that point. Hannah's ready.
Use me.
Yeah, okay. All right, so let's keep going with some other questions. Let's take a question from Felipe, who wants to know about your rooting interests this season. This is from Felipe.
Hey, Rob and Haley, this is Felipe, and I was just wondering if Haley has the same sentiments as me. As a millennial, I find myself rooting for the Gen X trap. Is that strange? Okay, thank you. Have a good night.
Felipe is a millennial who's rooting for the Gen Xers. Haley, could you relate to that?
No, like a self-loathing millennial.
Yeah, like Zeke.
No, I don't find myself straying in that direction. I just find that the Gen X tribe doesn't have quite the plethora of characters that the millennials, I don't know what they are, millennials do. Adam's fun, Zeke is fun, Michelle is interesting, Hannah's a lot. Even Figgy and Taylor, you may not like them. They're okay. They're bringing something to the screen. Mm-hmm. And my winner pick for the season, preseason pick, Michaela, is like a one person GIF / soundboard machine.
Yeah, she is really fantastic.
And on the other tribe, I'm enjoying Sunday a lot more than I expected to. Paul, I've seen that character so many times that I'm just like really over the old white dude trying to tell me what to do. How millennial of me, am I right?
That's right.
I love David. He's fun and he's how I feel like I would be out on the island, just like completely erratic and losing my ass. I like the David and Ken dynamic, but I don't find Ken like a particularly compelling character. I think it's interesting the dichotomy between like the hot guy and like the actually like shy and reserved fella. Mm-hmm. Lucy, we're not being shown anything from her, so I'm sure she's not giving us anything. Cece, we haven't seen a whole lot from either. Jess, I've been so distracted by her pink eye that it's really hard for me to root for her. I do like you, Jess, so please don't at me. She's a Gen X. She doesn't know how to do that. She knows. She's faked a couple of my pink eye tweets. So, hey, girl, what up? But I just enjoy the millennials more on my television. So, like, I'm more inclined to root for them.
Who are we supposed to be rooting for? Who does the production want us to be rooting for?
I don't effing know.
Yeah.
Like, Jeff has such a boner for us, like, to be, like there's such a generational divide. Like, when Paul comes in, like, I play ZZ Top songs. You don't even know who that is. Like, Wait, how old do you think I am? Like, I didn't just come out of the womb.
Did he say
I know what a sharp-dressed man looks like.
Did he say he plays ZZ Top songs, or he says he's in a band? I feel like the millennial said, is it ZZ Top?
And then he was like, we play ZZ Top songs and other songs that you've never heard. Buh, 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 buh. Like, F you, Paul. I've heard of The Who. Like, that's the music I grew up on because that's what my father played on the radio.
Yes, and millennials like talking to their fathers.
So I've heard.
Is that not true?
I like talking to my father. Sometimes I try and tell him about podcasts and he just doesn't understand it. The one day I asked my father if he knew what I did at work. He was like, I think you read Twitter all day.
Yes. Is that true?
I mean, it's partially true. I do work in social media.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But he was just like, okay, great.
Such a millennial.
Like, I know.
Let's talk about the big Survivor Summit. I want to get your take on that and what you thought of it as a millennial. This is from the St. Louis Wine and Cheese Alliance.
Hi, Robin Haley. It's the better half of the St. Louis Wine and Cheese Alliance. In this episode, we saw four millennials and four Gen Xers go on a group date.
They all seem to go in with a strategy for gathering or sharing information for their tribe and themselves. Who would you give the group date, Rose, for doing the best job at the summit?
Haley, will you accept this voicemail?
All right. Would you consider the summit to be more of a group date than a Survivor twist?
Okay, I'm going to cry with joy because I am the biggest St. Louis Wine and Cheese Club fangirl on the face of this planet. I'm obsessed with them. They're so nice to me. Like, after my last VMs, they all, like, messaged me. It was like, you were great. We love you. And I was like, I'm so obsessed with you. You don't understand. And so, like...
Yeah, well, they were at RahapCon this summer. Yeah.
Were they like as wonderful in person as I imagine.
Yeah, they're very sweet.
Anyway, yes, this was a total group date, except for the fact that they actually ate the food, and that doesn't happen on The Bachelor.
They don't eat the food? Why? Because they're just like trying to... When do they eat?
They don't.
Nobody eats?
Well, except Chad and his lunch meat. I think they eat after like the camera shut off because like it's not super great for them to like be munching into a microphone.
Lunch meat?
Yeah. Okay, you missed that whole thing.
What happened with lunch meat?
Chad like ate like a constant stream of lunch meat for like 4 weeks. Okay, you need to go back and watch last season. Okay.
They just had like bologna standing by?
Paul Borges, can you send Rob a gif of Chad eating lunch meat, please? And thank you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Also, I want to talk about the bread that they had on this because it looked like the best bread I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
It was thick. It looked fresh.
Right. And I mean, everybody's talking about, oh, greatest thing since sliced bread. Well, that looked pretty fine.
It looked great bread. And everyone being like, oh, like, that's such a big advantage getting to eat this early in the game. Like, come on, guys. It was literally bread and peanut butter. That's all they got. They literally broke bread at this thing.
Yeah. And that's the difference between Survivor and Big Brother, where on Survivor, peanut butter and jelly is a reward. And on Big Brother, it's a punishment. It's like, oh, I'm a half knot.
It hasn't been a punishment on Big Brother since I was like in elementary school.
Yeah, that's true. But I could see there being a slop week where you have to, the half knots have to only eat peanut. You like, you get better slop and something else.
It would be like peanuts and pickles.
Is there still alliteration on that?
Yes. There was like,
I have no idea.
Yeah, they didn't show a whole lot this season because they've been focusing on other stuff, but there was like a whole, like a package where it was like, oh, squid and like sushi, not sushi, but like squid and I don't know, whatever else starts with an S.
Yes. Salsa.
Yes. Squid and salsa. You could do something with that.
So who do you think did the best at this summit? Was there any standouts for you?
I think Taylor did the best, actually.
Yeah. Why?
Because he just kind of, he kind of sat there and listened. And I feel like the millennials were like, oh, so like, how's it going? And then David was like, blah, 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 blah. Like, we hate everyone. Me and CC are on the bottom. Ken is cool. He has a penis, but you know, he won't talk about that. Blah, blah, blah. And then he gets Taylor alone for like 8.3 seconds. He's like, man, I trust you. I just met you. I know nothing about you, but I like totally trust you. It's like, David, like, chill, buddy.
Yeah, just chill out.
And Taylor just kind of sat there and was like, yep, I agree. I trust you too. Yep, let's work together. Oh, Paul. Okay. All right. Like, they got so much information from the Gen X's, but I don't think the millennials really gave up that much. Mm-hmm.
You know who I'm really starting to like that was on the summit is Jay. I feel like that Jay is really coming into his own. He really did a good job in the immunity challenge at the end. He had a funny secret scene where he was talking about going head to head with Ken. Here is from Jay's secret scene talking about going mano a mano with Ken.
In the final stage, you got to throw the sandbags. And I see Ken walking with me to get to his stage. And I'm like, oh, it's me and you, handsome. All right. I'm going to show you who's more handsome, mother. And then we took it down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. He's always talking about who's handsome and who's not handsome.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's like LaJuan.
Yeah, Jay has like far exceeded my expectations for him. I mean, granted, they were like Corey Lowe, not like Corey Big Brother, like a Corey that you dig rocks out of. Although Corey is about as smart as rock, so it works out in the end. But Jay has been giving really good confessionals. I think whether or not he's a fan, it's kind of irrelevant because he has like good game instinct. Like, he knows that you shouldn't be making out with someone right in front of other people because people will see you as a pair. He's athletic, he's good looking, he's charming, he's fun. I think he could probably make it far. And we could say that he's like prime first boot at the merge material. But if Taylor sticks around too, I think people would be more willing to kick him out than Jay.
Does Taylor have a personality?
Do any of these hot guys have a personality? Like, that's why we're so shocked.
Hey, some of us do, Haley. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Taylor, I just feel like we haven't real, other than that he makes out with Figgy, I feel like he's like, and he snowboards, that we haven't really seen too much from him.
Listen, I'm sure his strategy coming up is sicky sicky nar nar and we just have to wait for it.
Yeah, no, but Jay is like legitimately funny.
Yeah,
I find myself really liking Jay.
Me too.
Here's another question about the Survivor Summit. This time it's from Syrup Guy.
So unlike the Survivor Summit, I'm not here to waste you guys' time. but what was the deal with that? Syrup guy out.
Did you have any issue with the deal with the Survivor Summit, Haley, that we were talking about the lack of a twist element to it on the know-it-alls last night?
I agree with you that the fact that it was like presented to us as a twist, which was, that was unfortunate because it was just represented in a way that it was not. I think if it was presented as it was, as just like kind of a meetup between the two generations, I think we would have liked it more because we're always looking for the intertribe interaction. Like we liked in Token Chains when one person from each tribe would go to Exile Island and, you know, whether they'd make an alliance or not, it was always interesting to see two people from different tribes with different information, different alliances, talk it out and see what else was going on. So from that perspective, I thought it was pretty interesting. And again, I really enjoyed looking at that bread. Like, give me an hour of that bread on television and I'm in.
You're happy what, just Rob? To watch people eat that bread?
Yeah. I love watching people eat on TV. I like looking at people's food on Instagram. I'm all in on the snack chat.
Snack chat?
Yeah, snack chat. I play a game on Twitter or on Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat, obviously, where people Snapchat me their Survivor snacks and it's called snack chat.
Okay, so people send you pictures of what they're eating during Survivor?
Yeah.
And what do? You like give them like a check or X if it's something bad?
No, I like you. No, it's like sometimes I'll give out prizes at the end for who had the best snack chat.
Yes.
By prizes, I mean like a tweet being like this person had the best snack chat.
Like who won? Who had the best snack yesterday?
I'm trying to think. I don't think anyone sent me their snacks yesterday. But Colin Stone usually panders right to me. Like he'll buy a bag of sour Skittles and we'll win automatically. Or Zach Brooks, whenever he has tacos, he'll send that to me. You know, people just send me their snacks.
Now, they're eating these snacks during Survivor? Or are they just like, we'll send a picture of tacos to you for just...
No, like Survivor Snapchat. Like,
yeah, wow. People are really like making meals for Survivor episodes. Like, I'm lucky if I eat dinner during Survivor.
Well, that's not my fault. And if you do, you should Snapchat me. You have me on Snapchat. Just send a picture of it.
How do you take notes when you're snacking?
Do you think I take notes for this, Rob?
No, I'm joking. Yeah. Yeah. No, so that's crazy. That's crazy. And a lot of people are in on this Snapchat?
Yeah.
Wow.
On Snapchat, I'm HStrong28. If you want to send me your snacks during Survivor, do that.
See, that's you work in social media. You like invented a whole thing. What do people send you for during The Bachelor?
Wine, usually.
Wine. So people drink wine during The Bachelor, but people don't drink as much during Survivor?
Yeah, probably not. My snack chat last week for Survivor was wine too, but it's because it was my birthday. So I'm gonna have wine if I want to.
Yeah.
What was the question? Oh, the summit. I enjoyed the summit, but I was upset that it was presented as a twist when that's not in fact what it was. If it was presented as just a summit, I think we would have all been like, all right, this is fine.
All right, but that maybe wouldn't have gotten as many people to tune in on Wednesday night to say that, hey, this Wednesday, there'll be a meeting and they'll be eating.
I think this will pay dividends farther down the line. So people just need to be patient for the payoff.
All right, let's take another question. And this is one that is going to be about something else from the preview going into next week, which may or may not be misleading that there was a very exciting preview coming up for next week. Let's take this question from Millennial Max.
Hey, Robin Haley. This is Millennial Max from Michigan calling. Has it happened? Has Lucy finally snapped? After 3 episodes of not receiving a confessional, we see her up on the balance beam. She's shushing everybody. And then we see her on the next time. She's just gone crazy. I have the quote right here. She says in the preview, "Ken, if you say another word, I will crush you with my bare hands." Yeah, I think that's the quote. But she's gone crazy. Has she finally said, if I'm not getting a confessional, nobody is? Have we finally seen the birth of our silent dictator? What do you think?
Okay. Do you think that we are going to see Lucy lose it next week?
Maybe the reason we haven't seen any of her like confessionals, because they're all like, look at me murder this chicken, or like, I'm going to kill everyone. Here is my manifesto. And so like CBS doesn't want to be liable. that they have like all of this footage. So they just like deleted it and pretend she wasn't there.
Yeah.
Well, we see. Yeah.
It's like too over the top. It's too OTT.
Or did they just spoil Lucy's like complete downfall? Because we haven't seen anything from her. And now it's like, oh, Lucy's in the preview. All right. I guess we can say peace out to Lucy then.
Yeah. I do think that from an edit perspective that it does seem like bad news for Lucy. It's like Lucy is never on the episode and it looks like that she's going to get the, as Stephen Fishback would call it, the visibility spike in next week's show.
Yeah, she's going to be goose stepping around the camp and you know she's done.
The new dictator. Can you believe it?
Like, you know what? I can't. I can't believe it's Lucy.
That was a pretty wild preview that we ended up seeing for next week's episode, where not only did we see Lucy is going to potentially lose it, we saw where Michaela is going to take her top off in a challenge.
Yeah, get it, girl. She's the best. She's the best person on the show. I want her on my TV all the time. I'd be super satisfied if I just had like a picture in picture of her in the bottom corner, like just her confessionals, like running all the time overlapping the show.
Over other shows or just over Survivor?
Both. I didn't think about over other shows, but yeah, I like to see her commentary on an episode of Big Bang Theory that my parents watched 14 times.
Yeah. Okay. Here comes Penny.
This girl is dumb.
Oh, come on, Michaela. Yeah.
She's the best.
No, she's really
good.
And
I love
good.
That she's like, yeah, you don't think I'm going to win the challenge topless? Well, F you. Here we go.
Do you think that Michaela heard that there was peanut butter sandwiches at the summit and that she felt like if she got naked in one of the challenges, they would give her a peanut butter sandwich?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe she, she really wanted that peanut butter.
Do you feel like that Michaela has the upside to potentially win the season? Do you think that she's an actual player or is she just a character?
It's hard to tell. Like, we're only 3 episodes in. We didn't see Sydney come out as a player until, you know, after the merge. And I 100% believe that Michaela has that upside. It seems like she's pretty well liked on her tribe, except for Figgy, but she only wants to make out with Taylor anyway. So F her.
And Figgy told us, though, that she doesn't like it that people that write her name down. I thought that this was something controversial that Figgy said.
People that write down Figgy's name go home.
People who write Figgy's name down go home. Is this a prophecy?
You know what's controversial for me? What? We're talking in third person.
Yeah. As Figgy.
Nobody writes Figgy's name down. Like, girl, don't just say nobody writes my name down.
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
Like, let's. Your nickname is not that good.
Yeah. Figgy does sound like the name of a bachelorette contestant or a bachelor contestant.
Figgy, 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 can't you see that you're just really annoying me?
Wow, look at you.
Is that me stealing Shut Up Tim's work?
Yes. Yes. You know, Shut Up Tim is like Beetlejuice, where if you keep saying his name, then he ends up popping up.
Okay, and next question. What up, Tim? Tim knows I love him.
You know, Tim, he wrote a song for you.
I know, I heard. He told me about
her
7 months ago.
Last name, Strong. Strong. She watches The Bachelor and Bachelorette. Her name's Haley.
So, do you like that?
I loved it, but I didn't know what song it was. Is that millennial of me?
Yes.
What song is it? Yes. You know?
I am strong. I'm invincible. I'm a woman. Hear me roar.
Must have missed that generation.
Well, I mean, I think it is even for Gen Xer. I think it is a really old song.
I mean, there's so many directions he could have gone. Kanye West, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera. They all have songs called Stronger.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
But he didn't want to go with the easy catch, I guess.
Will you give him a mulligan?
Yeah, of course.
He's got another song about that dictator, Lucy.
For really 7 months for that?
Picture yourself on an island in Fiji with 2 different tribes, Gen X and Millennials. Suddenly you see her.
Do you know this song?
Yeah, it's Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
She's
Rob,
looking
Paul.
Quite purpley. A woman with no confessionals. Lucy made a noise in this episode. Shh, shh,
Lucy made a noise in this episode. Lucy shushed Paul on the balance beam.
Okay, how do I set that as my ringtone?
So you prefer that?
Yeah.
Oh, that was all right, beautiful. So Shut Up Tim won you back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was one of his better works, too.
Oh.
At first I was like, oh, this is a little easy, like Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, but I think he really played it well.
Yeah, I actually had not listened to that before I played it just now, so I really had no idea what he was coming up with.
Do you just like go for it now? You're just like, YOLO, I don't care.
I mean, if it's like, you know, where he's saying like something like grossly offensive, like I could always cut it. But yeah, let's just roll the dice. YOLO, right?
Yeah. Hashtag YOLO, Rob.
Hashtag YOLO. What do you think about survivors who say hashtag blindside? I feel like that's been a thing. Adam said it
a few
times.
Meta.
Too meta.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. He knows he's trying to get the hashtag on the TV screen. Like, I want it to be natural.
Yeah, I feel like that they don't put it on the screen when you say hashtag blindside.
I didn't notice.
I don't think so. What's your take on Adam that we haven't talked about him very much? Are you on board with Adam?
Yes, but I also can't like picture him not as John Millhiser from SNL.
John Millhiser.
Like, I honestly, is that his name?
Well, there is a guy, John Millhiser.
Yeah, that's who I picture. I can't picture Adam's face. I can only picture John's face.
Like, that is a very specific reference to a guy that hasn't been on SNL in like 2 years.
Well, that's just how my brain works, Rob. I can't remember anything except that John Millhiser.
That's the only thing you can remember?
Yeah, I just got him on the mind.
All right. Let's take a question from Stefano, who wants to talk about the idea that only millennials can use abbreviations for things. This is Stefano.
Hey, Rob, this is Stefano Capelli, and I am a millennial from Canada. I got to make sure I add that in. Do you guys think it was weird that the Gen X tribe was trashing us millennials by spelling you as not Y-O-U when all of them just spelled CC as the two letters C and C? Oh!
Now, to be fair, I don't think that the Gen X tribe was trashing the millennials. I think that Jeff,
are you
was,
sure they love trashing the millennials? That's like their fave thing.
It is.
They hate recycling, but they love trashing millennials.
Oh,
I think you've been watching too much Big Brother.
Yeah. So I really felt like it was Jeff was trashing the Gen Xers and saying like, "Hey, if you're not using you, you are an old fogey in your text messages."
See, I think Stefano. As a fellow Canadian, would agree that you guys don't use enough U's. Color
yes.
needs a U. Favorite needs a U. Donut needs a U, G, and an H.
So you're not trashing Gen Xers. You're trashing Americans.
What? I would never do that. I love America. Where else would I be able to get Chipotle?
Why? They don't have Chipotle in Canada?
They have like three across the country.
Mm-hmm.
You guys also have Panera, which is really great.
That's good.
You guys have a lot of fast food options that I'm in on.
Yes. Okay. But not enough U's in our words.
Not enough U's in your words.
All right. Did you have any objection to using the CC as like, her name is not technically like two C's. I believe it's, what is it? C-I-C-I or C-E-C-E?
I think it's C-E-C-E, but I think her name, I saw it somewhere as like, Cecilia or Celia or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think I'm just making that up in my brain.
People call her Cece.
I mean, I'm not like totally offended by it. Cece might be, but I totally get his point.
Yes. So are you saying that Gen Xers are just picking and choosing their spots where they want to be abbreviating?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, is Gen X, is the X an abbreviation for something?
Xavier.
Xylophone. Generation Xavier.
Generation Xylophone. Xylophones were last popular when these people were born.
Wow. All right. Let's give you a question from Alex Kidwell, who wants to talk about Gen X Jess, who we haven't talked about too much. Here is Alex Kidwell.
Do you think maybe the reason Jessica Lewis thought the three girls would somehow be on the bottom of the six is that with her eyes, she was counting an extra guy that wasn't actually there?
Can you give us an update? Yeah. Can you give us an update on Gen X Jess's eyes? I feel like I'm a bad person to be able to really key in on this.
I think her eyes were looking a lot better this episode.
Oh, better.
Looking at her the first episodes, my eyes were like watering and I couldn't have eye contact with her without like cringing my eyes out. They're looking better, still not at 100%, but I'd say we're at 75.
Mm-hmm. The other day, Nicole just like woke up one day and is like, well, I have pink eye. And I was like, wait. So what does this mean? Am I going to get pink eye? And she was like, oh, all you do is think about yourself. And then I was like in trouble because I asked if I was going to get it. And then, and then she turned out later on that day, she said, oh, no, she doesn't have pink eye.
Yeah. Like you've got to think about your video podcast. Did you get it from like one of your kids?
No, nobody had it. I don't know why she made the diagnosis of that's it. I have pink eye.
Well, she is a nurse. Like I feel like she's seen pink eye.
Right.
And would know what it looked like.
Does that make me a bad person that I asked if I was
going
to,
I was going to get it? I think it does. I don't know.
Like I always want to know what to
expect.
Do
you think I'm really a great judge of moral character? Like I watched The Bachelor. Like what do you, I'm clearly the bottom of the barrel.
As a woman, I thought you would know if I was like over the line here.
No, I don't think so. I would ask that too.
Right. I mean, as my medical expert, I thought she would know. If I was on the tribe with Gen X Jessica, I think I would be asking, hold on, am I going to get this also?
But did you say something else to her like earlier that would like also set her off? So that like this asking about your potential pink eye just kind of like really set over the edge?
Like over the last 12 years?
No.
Or that day?
I mean, that day.
It was like first thing in the morning.
So did she dream you did something?
I don't know.
Haven't you ever like woken up mad at someone because you dreamt they did something?
No, but I have gotten in trouble from Nicole where she's dreamt that I've done something. Like she's...
Well, then that was probably it. See,
like, I had a dream and you were cheating on me. Like, okay, but I didn't actually.
But I dreamt it.
Yes.
Been there, Nicole.
All right. So that you feel like that Gen X Jess is on the right track. She's back on the mend.
Yeah, we're on the up and up with her eyes.
Okay,
they do not disgust me to look at them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I still feel like a little queasy, but we're good.
Okay. Also, shout out to Gen X Jessica Lease, who had her baby. Very happy that the RHAP family has gotten bigger now that Jessica Lease had a baby boy yesterday. I guess early into Thursday morning. So congratulations.
Yeah, if you want me to be creepy, it was 1:08 a.m. on Thursday morning. Yeah. I saw the tweet. It was adorable. Congrats, Jessica. And baby George.
Yes. Congrats, Jess, Kip, and baby George. So good job by our own Gen X Jessica. Okay, let's go back to the Gen X tribe and let's try to figure out what's going to happen in our next episode. This is Millennial Anthony, who wants to find out about what Brett and Chris are going to do now that they were on the wrong end of this blindside. Here's Millennial Anthony.
Rob, this is Millennial Anthony calling, and I have a question about Brett and Chris. How do you guys think these two guys would react after this blindside? Would they be so pissed that their boy Paul got blindsided last night, and they decided to hit the machete, and they decided they're going to sabotage the camp, and they decided to pour water on the fire because they're pissed that their boy Paul was blindsided at the tribal, and these girls are so dumb. They should have kept Paul around. Thanks.
Hopefully Chris doesn't call Jessica the C word, am I right?
Basically combining.
That was a lot of references from a lot of shows in a very short period of time.
Yeah. So do you think that we're going to see Brett and Chris go Kyle Jason and Scott Pollard on the camp next week?
No, because I don't think they're flaming D-wads. Like, I feel like Chris and Brett will be able to be like, okay, we understand why you did it. We don't like that you did it, but we're here, so it's fine. And then underneath, they'll be like, we're gonna, like, vote her out, man. Like, I think this will not work out for Jessica in the long run. Like, I think girlfriend's getting voted out day 35, and Chris and Brett will just kind of take this in stride and move on, but they're not going to forget.
Mm-hmm. Do you like the legacy idol? Do you like that that's in the mix? Or legacy advantage?
Here's the thing. I'm super impatient. So, like, the fact that they're not going to tell us for another 10 weeks what this shit is about, I'm like, I forget about it because I'm like, you're not going to tell me immediately? Well, then I don't care.
I don't think that Gen X Jessica is going to get to use that legacy advantage.
I don't think either. Like, I think they want, it to get passed to someone else.
Yeah.
We're going to see one pass at least.
I think so.
Like, do you think this is going to pay off? Like, there's so much, there's like, air quotes, so much build up to this that it's just hard for me to believe that it's going to have like a payoff that's worth it.
How do you mean worth it? Like to the person who holds it or to us, the viewer?
To us, the viewer.
I don't know. It's a lot of build up to get to this point. So I don't know. I mean, they sort of didn't mention it last week and then she was back to talking about it. It did feel like that this move she made was because that she thought that she was going to have a better chance to be there on day 36 to play this legacy advantage by taking out one of the guys.
Sure. But like, even like, I listened to Know It Alls and I completely agree with you guys that I don't think it was the right move for her, because even in that six, I think she was number four at least. And I think she had like potential to be number two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Worst comes to worst, you find someone else on the other tribe and like hold hands with them.
Why do you have to hold hands?
So you don't give the pink eye. You can't make out. You'll get pink eye in each other's eyes. I think that's how that works. Is that I'm not sure. Works?
I don't know.
I have a tourism degree. I don't do science.
You have a tourism degree?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was a subject that you could study.
I have a Bachelor of Tourism Development and Hospitality Management. And that is why I live with my parents still.
Wow, Haley. What made you be interested in that? Because you like different snacks and like food.
Yeah, you're right, Rob. I love snacks. And I'm willing to travel all around the world for those snacks.
Your interest in snacks and sightseeing brought you to have a degree in tourism?
Yeah, I love snacks and I love sightseeing. So why the hell not?
What kind of college classes do you take in tourism?
Well, like, I essentially have like a business degree, but then I have like a tourism
focus.
So yeah. So like, you know, I took accounting and I took marketing and I took organizational behavior, but then I also took sustainable development, international tourism. I went to Peru and I went to China both in classes. Like,
Wow.
Here's to tourism, am I right?
Yeah, wow. We should get you on the Amazing Race podcast.
Ooh, but that would involve me being good at things and I'm not.
All right, I know we started talking about Figgy and Taylor, but let's go back to them. That Rourke from LA has a question for you about how they would fare on The Bachelor.
Hi, Haley. This is Rourke from LA. And as any Bachelor contestant would tell you, Fiji is obviously the perfect place to fall in love. So I was wondering, if Figgy and Taylor were to be cast on seasons of The Bachelor, who do you think would be their ideal mates within Bachelor Nation? Looking forward to hearing your answer. Bye.
Now, could you do that? Do you know the Bachelor contestants so well that you could just like come up with a match for Figgy and for Taylor?
I'm trying to think, because I think A, Rourke is the best and I love her and I'm so glad that you picked her voicemail. Mm-hmm. B, I can't see them doing super well on The Bachelor itself, but where they would really shine is Bachelor in Paradise, where they could go to an island and make out with strangers, which is what they're doing now.
Yeah.
So I, Figgy.
Can't you see?
I already used that joke. Okay.
Well, I think it's a callback.
Is that how this works?
I guess so.
I'm trying to think. Figgy would go for like a hot guy who was bland, clearly. And The Bachelor has just a ton of those types.
But Haley, wouldn't that be Aukie Milwaukee for Figgy and Taylor to go on Bachelor in Paradise and then be making out with other people?
No, definitely not. I think they'd be in on that.
They'd be in on it? Boy, yeah. What are these millennials up to?
Give me that Sunday clip.
My kids that are millennials, they'll give anything a try. They'll try it with anybody, and they'll try it 80 different ways.
He just described the premise of Bachelor in Paradise.
Okay, I'm going to start watching. Would Figgy be better on Bachelor in Paradise than Survivor? Because according to Adam,
yes,
Figgy,
yes, she would.
Survivor.
She would kill in Bachelor in Paradise. She'd make out with everyone. You get unlimited.
Is that how you win?
I guess so.
You don't even know how you win Bachelor in Paradise?
I don't. I've watched so many seasons of this, and I literally have no idea what the premise of any of it is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it sounds good to me.
It's great. It's probably the best show on television that's not RuPaul's Drag Race.
Wow. I didn't know that you loved it so much. I thought that it was sort of like that you enjoyed Bachelor and Bachelorette the most.
We put up with Bachelor and Bachelorette so we can watch Bachelor in Paradise. Like, when we get to the slog of the season of Bachelorette, we're like, it's just a couple weeks till Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah.
Just a couple more weeks. And it always pays off.
Should they rebrand it Bachelor OTT to get more people excited about it?
Okay, listen. So AB and I 100% believe that there should be live feeds in Bachelor in Paradise.
You would watch them.
Oh my God, would I watch them? Everyone would watch them. Give me VIP OTT. Sign me up. I'm watching it. I'll be your live feed correspondent.
Okay. All right.
I'm in.
I'll take you up on that. So then, Haley, a lot of our voicemail callers had some very specific questions for you this week. Okay. So let's start off with our good friend, Ron from Toronto, your countryman. Here is Ron.
Hi, Robin, Haley. It's Ron from Toronto. What has a better chance of happening? My Jays winning the World Series this season? Or Miss Survivor contender Purple Lucy getting 3 confessionals next week?
Wow.
Take care.
Ooh.
Haley, what has a better chance to happen? Because it looks like that Lucy could be all over this next episode. Purple Alert could be over. Stand down, Purple Alert.
Yeah, but if we're saying like 3 confessionals in the next 3 episodes, like definitely not. I know that wasn't the question, but...
No, 3 confessionals in the next episode. This next one that's coming up.
I think that has a better chance.
Yes.
Maybe.
It's over. Stand down, Purple Alert.
Okay, but what? But what if Lucy doesn't actually have any confessionals? It's just other people talking about Lucy.
Talking like, about Lucy and yeah, that she has totally such a dirty mouth. And such a, yeah. You know, she's saying...
Such a murdery spirit.
She's like, you know, the thing about David is that I'd like to rip his heart right out of his chest.
You know, Jeffrey Dahmer, I think he had some real good ideas. Yeah. I can only assume that that's what she sounds like.
Yes. She's
1920s gangster from New Jersey.
She's just highly offensive. Too offensive to just air anything that she's showing on TV. So 3 confessions from Lucy or the Blue Jays winning the World Series. Now, do these things have to be mutually exclusive? Could both things happen? Could neither?
I mean, neither could possibly happen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Okay. Please don't hurt me. Blue Jays, God. But I think Lucy's going to have 3 confessionals now.
3 confessionals for Lucy. So that's more likely. I think it's more likely to happen. I mean, there's a lot of teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, and they had a real good game against the Rangers tonight, but the Rangers are the best team in the AL for a reason.
Yeah. How did Mr. Heidi Strobel do tonight?
He choked. Suck it, Cole. Okay, Melvin Upton Jr. took him deep.
That's disgusting.
Michaela, run's a run, okay, girl? We're getting wild Upton here, okay?
You don't want Michaela calling the baseball playoffs?
Yes, I do want that, actually.
Let's go back to our Fox studio where A-Rod is standing by with Michaela.
Miss Cuddle Shack.
No, that's Derek Jeter's Cuddle Shack. The gift basket king, even.
All right. So I have another Blue Jays question for you, Haley. This time it's from Andrew Kirk.
Hey, Robin, Haley. This is Andrew Kirk from California. My question for Haley is if you can pick
anybody on the current Toronto Blue Jays roster to be on a season of Survivor, who would you pick and why? Thanks.
So my brother and I were actually discussing this very matter yesterday.
Yes.
So I personally think that Anthony Rizzo would be the best from baseball to Survivor player. But I know that's not the question.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see Josh Donaldson on Survivor. That dude is a hell of a lot of fun. I don't know if he'd do particularly well, but he'd be really entertaining television.
Okay.
And I think if he wanted to be on Survivor and called Jeff Probst up and was like, put me on Survivor, they'd be like, hell yeah, boy, get over here.
Yeah. Donaldson is back.
Yeah. And he'd be like, woo! Like, he'd be like jumping. He'd be like flipping beanbags.
And that would be fun?
Yeah, it would be fun.
I mean,
might not be fun if you're a Texas Rangers fan, but.
Because he's just jumping and flipping beanbags?
Yeah. They'll get like flashbacks.
Okay. And then one other Blue Jays question for Haley today.
Hey, this is Jody from Calgary. Let me first say, Rob, I'm sorry about your Mets.
Oh, thank you,
that's
Jody.
Too bad. Haley, I'm a fellow Blue Jays fan. Your man, Jose Bautista, came through for us big time in the wild card game. I'm just wondering if you had to pick somebody from the Survivor cast to be your Jose Bautista type, a.k.a. hunky and good at the game. Who would you pick and why?
Hold on. Do you have a Jose Bautista type?
Okay, I have a Jose Bautista thing. So I love Jose Bautista, and I know you liked this photo on Facebook, so I know you've seen it. I have a cardboard cutout of Jose Bautista, and he's my most prized possession. So he is my favorite baseball player of all time. And I have Jose Bautistas in other factions of my life. For example, Steve Nash is my Jose Bautista of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So my Jose Bautista of this season of Survivor is Zeke. I love Zeke.
Okay.
I'm so in love with him.
He is the Jose Bautista of Survivor, Zeke Smith.
Of this season of Survivor. Okay. I'm sure every season I would have a different Jose Bautista.
Who was your Jose Bautista of last season?
I mean, Aubrey and Sydney, like, they shared it.
Okay. So it doesn't have to be a guy.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Just like the person I like love deeply and madly and truly.
Boy, you millennials are trying everything.
And I feel like
80 different ways.
Millennials, they'll give anything a try. They'll try it with anybody and they'll try it 80 different ways.
Wow. There you go. All right. Are you ready to talk about some of the Survivor social media, Haley?
Hells to the yes, I am.
Tweets, baby, tweets. Gen X tweets. They're better than getting beat on the beam by fleet millennial feet. Tweets.
Yes. Thank you so much to the great Ryan Elder at Ryan Elder Music. I'm not sure why this season he's rebranded it as Gen X tweets. He calls
tweets, baby, tweets. Gen X tweets. They're better than getting beat on the beam by fleet millennial feet. Tweets.
Is Twitter more of a Gen X or a millennial thing, Haley?
It's much more of a millennial thing. I think Facebook is your Gen X thing.
Okay. See, I like Twitter better.
I do too, but you're a unique Gen Xer.
I'm a unique Gen Xer, yeah. I don't know how many people that I went to high school with are on Twitter. I doubt it. Not many.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I bet they don't even have like an avatar or anything, a profile picture. They're just like an egg person.
They're like squatting on Twitter names that other people want. Looking at you, at Haley Strong. At H Strong. At Haley uses her Twitter, so.
Yeah.
Rain free, girl.
Yeah, go for it. All right. So Jeff Probst, I mean, he was like tweeting every 5 seconds during the episode last night when I was watching. But here's one of his tweets from last night. He said, hashtag Survivor. I went in with a lot of questions about the millennials, but I have to admit their enthusiasm as loosey goosey as it infectious.
Like, what does Jeff think millennials are? Like recycled paper and trash bags? Like, is that all we are to him?
What do you mean?
Well, it just seems like he's like, oh, I'm surprised that millennials have personality and know how to do things. It's like, what are you talking about, Jeffrey?
I feel like my kids that are millennials, they'll give anything a try. They'll try it with anybody and they'll try it 80 different ways.
Yeah. You know, that's how Flocka got started.
That's how Pink Eye got spread.
Then let's see. How about what do you think of this Twitter name? Ken McNichol at Ken of the Jungles. He says, I could never have imagined how kind, supportive and amazing everyone would be. Feeling the love.
How did he spell love? L-U-V?
No, L-O-V-E. He loves the English language.
It's an art form, truly. Mm-hmm. Like vinyl records.
Now, who's more likely to have a vinyl record? Would it be a Gen Xer or a hipster millennial?
A hipster millennial.
Yeah.
I got a record player like 10 years ago. I said, Dad, do you have any records? He said, no. So like, thanks, Greg. What are you going to leave me in your will if not records?
Records. Then here's Figgy. Figgy's on Twitter. She's hashtag Figgy. Apparently it was National Poetry Day. Did you know this?
There's so many days. I heard it was Taco Day and Vodka Day and Animal Day on Tuesday. And I was really celebrating all of those things. Mm-hmm. So I didn't even pay attention to poetry.
You know, last week was International Podcast Day.
I heard that and I tweeted about it.
Yes. So hashtag National Poetry Day from Figgy. She tweets, roses are red, violets are blue. Write my name down at tribal. I'm coming after you.
People that write down Figgy's name, go home.
So did Steven celebrate National Poetry Day?
I don't think so. That seems like a missed opportunity for him.
Yeah, it does.
Now,
anyways, her rhymes are basic, but I like it.
All right. Do you have any accolades for Figgy for not saying, if you write my name down at tribal, Figgy's coming after you?
I mean, I'm not going to give her that much credit because it would just be really awkward for her to like go with that speak, I guess. Like it just wouldn't flow. And I feel like that type of poem is just such a classic. Like why mess with, you know, why mess with it?
All right. Well, then maybe hashtag Figgy goes to the well one too many times. She says more for hashtag National Poetry Day. Figgy likes tails. Tails likes Figgy. The end.
That was stupid.
Figgy sucks at survival.
Figgy sucks at poetry.
Yeah. So, all right. Figgy should have quit while she was ahead.
Figgy seems like the type of person who would just go like too hard all the time.
Wow.
For everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Watch out.
Sunday, where you at, girl?
They'll give anything a try. They'll try it with anybody and they'll try it 80 different ways.
Use me.
Yeah. Okay. Stephen Fishback tweeted, poor Ken, being fabulously handsome must be so hard.
Stephen really has like a, what's it called? Like a, oh God, what's the word? I can't think of it.
Inferiority complex?
Yeah. He's real complex with the hot kids.
Yes. But I don't know what his hang up is.
Stephen, you're hot too, okay?
Yeah.
Come on.
I don't know. Too insecure.
I know all the fangirls on Survivor Twitter want to hold hands with you and spread their pink
What's eyes. With all this holding hands?
It's a family podcast, Rob.
Okay, not holding hands?
Stop.
I don't think that Russell was tweeting about Survivor List. I don't know what he was doing.
What's Brandon been up to lately?
That we are better off not knowing. Does Russell tweet The Bachelor? Does he watch that?
I don't know. I don't follow him, but I feel like people would have told me if he was. Mm-hmm. So I don't think so.
Looks like that Russell was tweeting during the show, but he was not. He was just tweeting about like Sandra and Tony. And he's just like tweeting about different things.
Of course he was.
Also, by the way, just a flash poll from Russell's Twitter. Do you think what happened to Kim Kardashian was a setup and inside job? What do you think that Russell Hance's Twitter reported? 547 votes.
I think they said it was a setup.
Yeah. 61.39%.
I'm surprised it was that many saying it wasn't a setup. Like, I feel like his following would be like, it was Obama. He set it up.
Yeah. 61% of Russell Hance's Twitter followers are saying Kim Kardashian, and he at replied Kim Kardashian. He didn't subtweet her.
That's just rude.
Boy.
If you're going to be mean to people, just like leave them out of it.
Yeah. Kim Kardashian sitting there with Kanye saying like, oh, Russell's on to us. What do we do?
I wonder if Kim and Kanye like Survivor.
I doubt it. Right.
I doubt it, too. OK, which Kardashian is most likely to watch Survivor?
I don't know them well enough, but I'd say probably Rob Kardashian.
Oh, I would have said Kourtney.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe one day if we get a celebrity Survivor, we'll get a Kardashian on Survivor. Do you watch? Do you follow that?
Hundo.
Do you keep up with the Kardashians?
I don't.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I read all the articles on Cosmo about them, but I don't watch the show.
OK. Are you willing to say that you think it was an inside job with the jewelry heist?
Listen, I'm not here to victim blame.
Not here to victim blame.
No.
Tell you, Nicole, very convinced that it was.
That doesn't surprise me. She really, really hates the Kardashians.
She really does. And she was like talking, like, I was like, it's a Thursday. I got a million things going on. Nicole was like, you know, they're saying that the ratings are slipping for the Kardashians TV show. That's the motive. That's I'm like, can I just go back to the podcasting?
Okay, if you're going to bother her about your fake pink eye, let her bother you about the Kardashians.
I didn't bother her about, she came in with the news. Hey, just so you know, I have pink eye now. I didn't stop to ask her and give a pink eye survey. She's like, just so you know, it's happening.
I'm sorry, Rob, I didn't realize pink eye was such a sensitive subject for you.
Yeah. No, she, because I got in trouble because my first reaction was, does this mean I'm going to get it too? I'm just trying to get to the bottom of this. All right. Last week's recap guest, glad you were so tickled by that. Last week's recap guest, PG, that she tweeted out, my antenna doesn't get CBS, so I can't watch Survivor live, but for some reason I can get Mexican Survivor. And she tweeted a picture of what was going on Mexican Survivor.
You're covering Survivor Australia, but you're not covering Survivor
well,
Mexican.
Well, maybe get PG to podcast Survivor MX, not MVX. Survivor.
How is your Spanish, Rob?
No bueno. Yeah. Mm. Also, in Mexican Survivor, it appears that there is a guy wearing a Mexican wrestling mask on Mexican Survivor.
That sounds like a very Bachelor thing to do.
Yeah, that she recorded a video of it. Do you want to hear the clip that PG tweeted?
Hells yes, I do.
There's like a Mexican Survivor. Did you know that? I feel like this is right up your alley. Look at this guy in the luchadora mask.
See?
Wow.
All right, so we'll see if we can get PG on a recap of Mexican Survivor. All right, Haley, here's Randy. Randy Bailey. Boy, he does not sound like he is enjoying Millennials versus Gen X. He was loving Big Brother 18, but now it seems like he is not down with Millennials versus Gen X. First tweet from last night. He says, day 7 and they get a buffet. WTF.
Randy, I love you. But that was literally just bread and peanut butter. It wasn't a buffet. There was like one loaf of bread.
I don't think they had a lot of food in Gabon, though. That's a sore subject.
They had elephant dung everywhere they
We've
looked.
We've got elephant Isn't dung. We have E, D, and J.
I got it. Took me a minute.
Randy also said, I'm getting sick and tired of Jeff Probst trying to imitate Jonathan LaPaglia.
Who's Jonathan LaPaglia?
Exactly. No. He is the host of Australian Survivor. Boy, Randy was really beating the drum. Australian Survivor is so much better than U.S. Survivor. Haven't heard that take lately, Randy.
Randy, okay. There is no one who hates anyone more on earth than Randy hates Jeff Probst.
Also, Randy tweeted out, he didn't like that trade they tried to make. He said, are they playing Survivor or Let's Make a Deal? Ridiculous. The reward is the reward.
Yeah, this doesn't surprise me that Randy was upset about all of this.
Did you mind the trade?
I did mind the trade, actually. It's just kind of like, no, this is the reward, so take the reward.
Mm-hmm.
As my girl Tatiana on RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 2 says, choices. And they made a choice on the very first episode. They took the chickens instead of the fishing gear. And I feel like that's it. You don't get fishing gear. You made your choice.
That's it.
So I didn't like the trade.
Okay.
The potential.
Also, Randy said, yo, at Jeff Probst, when someone texts you STFU, do you know what that means? Oh, by the way, I'm starting to rethink this now. Randy Bailey is going to be our guest on the next recap of
Wow.
Podcast.
Oh,
we are inviting trouble, I think, maybe.
Worth it. It's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think.
Why?
Like, you're going to have to put the disclaimer on the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, 100%. Like, there is going to be that little red E, usually reserved for Johnny Fairplay and Corinne, right next to that podcast.
Well, I had said recently back on the Corinne cast assessment, I said, you know, I don't hear from Randy anymore. He doesn't call, he doesn't write. And he reached out and he said, I'm ready to go. And so here he is coming on next week. Then voicemails with Miles Nye. He's going to be here with me in the studio. So looking forward to another very fun week on the podcast. Randy Bailey.
Why didn't I get a studio visit?
Well, it's open. The offer is there.
Okay, next time in LA. Yeah. I'm coming knocking at your door. I'm bringing tacos and we're watching some Mexicans.
Okay, what? Is it Taco Appreciation Day?
Every day is Taco Appreciation Day, Rob.
National Taco Day. All right.
Every day.
Last week's voicemail guest, Darnell Hamilton, said...
He was so great on the show.
Yeah, Darnell was very fun. He said, well, I seen that boot coming a mile away, but where Lucy at, though? Darnell loved the purple alert last week.
He loves it. Like, I love... Where's the Sunday clip?
My kids that are millennials, they'll give anything a try. They'll try it with anybody, and they'll try it 80 different ways.
Yeah.
They sure will. I'll bet Randy tries to find 80 different ways to insult Jeff Probst next week.
He also said about next week's preview, oh man, Lucy looks like she's going to dial in her inner savage on David next week. I can't wait.
Like her inner Andrew Savage or just like her inner savage?
Yes, yeah, so her inner Andrew Savage. I think that would really
like, is
be.
Is she going to tell a story about her husband to make us think that he died? And he's like, not. He's just like a hot human.
He's perfect.
Yeah.
I really like Savage.
Yes. Okay. All right. Abby Maria, I think, has a new crush.
Oh.
Yes. Abby Maria says, Kendall, I do like doers, not talkers as well.
There's no room in a relationship for anyone else to be a talker with Abby.
Yes.
Get over it.
Yes. Also, she says, the rest of the tribe just hating on Figgy, having some fun with her boy toy. Girl living, let her.
I'll let her live if she's not like drooling on my ear while I'm trying to sleep because she's making out with fucking Taylor.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. Feel that.
Abby does not mind the PDA.
Well, that makes one of us, Abby. Not everything's about you. Yeah.
And then she said, oh, Kendall, you are really smithy. I like vinyls too. Just call me #survivor.
Yeah, there's nothing that will get Ken to call you like calling him Kendall over and over and over again.
I'm trying to figure out what this word is that she used. She said, you are really smithy. S-M-I-T-H-Y. Is that an acronym that I don't know?
I don't know.
You are really smithy.
I can't even think like what would autocorrect to that.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe let me look it up on Urban Dictionary. You are really smithy.
Isn't Abby Maria a Gen X, though?
Yeah, Abby Maria is Gen X.
I shouldn't call that out. Sorry, Abby.
Let's see. You are really smithy. A smithy is someone who has not only has legendary footy knowledge and arguing skills, but is also regarded as the premier authority on the subject by his peers. That's one definition.
Okay.
Number two is a 20-pound note is called a smithy due to the fact that Adam Smith, the grandfather of economics, is printed on it.
Okay. Is there another option?
Yeah. A spontaneously wise poet, a smithy. Maybe that's it.
Maybe.
Yeah. And she likes vinyl.
For some reason, I can't imagine that Abby Maria is really down with British slang, though.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
Here's Julia Sokolowski. She tweeted out, @NickMajorano, Ken is hotter than you. That's a sick burn.
Oh my God. Julia is the best. Okay. What I need a cross stitch of that tweet so I can hang it above my desk.
Ken is hotter than you. Just drive
that
by.
Is so funny.
Yeah. Wow.
I think I saw Michelle tweet something at him.
Yeah. She just said, hi, Ken. And she did like the wave emoji.
No, I feel like she tweeted something at Nick saying something like that.
Okay. Hold on.
Let me check in
with Mish Fitz on Twitter again. She was so excited about Ken. And then she did do the hashtag girl power.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to check under tweets and replies. Maybe that's just I was looking at just basic tweets. I guess this is how this unfolded. Then he had tweeted, Michelle says, I like Ken more than you. Aubrey says, me too. Julia says, me three. Nick says, you're all drunk and you want my love. Them, we want it bad. And then he tweeted, and then she tweeted to him, no.
They're great.
You like them.
No pumpkin, no.
I love them.
Yeah. Okay. So you're feeling the Ko-Rong love.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're fun.
Ko-Rong queen.
They're fun alumni.
They are. They're a really great season of alumni.
It's good. Good group of alumni for the most part. All right.
Good group of alumni.
Good. All right. Jeremy Collins was upset. He said, food already? Come on.
It was slices of bread. Like, let's not get crazy.
And
here.
Peanut butter.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I missed the peanut butter and jelly that they're going to have a sugar rush from and then crash in 3 hours.
What if somebody sent you that on Snapchat?
I would love it. Yes,
okay. All right.
But if they sent me a Snapchat of them whining about other people eating peanut butter, then like, no.
Now, was there milk at the peanut butter and jelly summit?
I didn't notice any.
Yeah. Actually, I did see in the wide shot something flying in.
You actually had to walk to the store and get milk. Right. It did come in a drone.
Yeah. Yeah. The millennials needed the drone to bring in their milk for their peanut butter and jelly.
Okay. I feel like they were closer to milk being literally delivered to their doors by milkmen.
Yes.
Than my generation is.
Yes. From Emmett from Big Brother Canada 1.
I went to university with his cousin, in case you're wondering how small Canada is.
Oh, wow. And did you bond over that?
We bonded over, well, not Emmett and I, but this guy and I bonded over the fact that I watch a lot of reality television.
All right. Bryce Isaiah was tweeting last night.
Man.
Yes. He is maybe the number one CC fan. He was tweeting, slow and steady, Aunt CC. Do that. He also said, all I know is it's my Aunt CC better not go home.
Sorry, I'm too busy dancing to the song to react.
Sorry. Also, he's so happy. He said, yes, Aunt CC stays. You better know that.
Who do you think Bryce's BFF in his head of the season is?
It sounds like it's Aunt CC.
I know, but that's like his family member in his head of the season.
I think it's probably Lucy, because then he tweeted out.
Yeah, I'd say.
Don't talk to Lucy while she's walking. Shh.
I feel like that's something you would do. Like, shh, someone as you're trying to walk across a balance beam and they're like bothering you.
Yeah. Well, I would probably, yeah, to Jeff like Lucy did. That's what T-Bird had to say, that
Jeff
she was
being so rude to Cece. Cece sure is taking a lot of time. The yes. Millennials are really zooming past her.
Yeah.
Jeff,
this is what T-Bird had to say, that she was really she was aghast that Lucy would shush Jeff Probst. She tweeted out, did Lucy hush the Jeff Probst? Bad karma.
Was karma all capital?
No, it was It was not. T-Bird does. She like tweets directly to each contestant. She like really personalizes it.
That's very kind of her.
That's very nice of her.
Also, was Lucy shing Jeff, though? I thought she was like shing Paul.
She also tweeted out, Hannah L. Neeson, could we just talk? Use me?
Use me.
Use me. Also, she tweets out, Paul, you are the man. You are the man. You are the man. I know this because you keep telling us.
That took a turn that I was not expecting.
Sick burn. She didn't like the talk about voting out Zeke. She said, oh, no, leave my Zeke or Chief alone.
So I have to fight T-Bird off for Zeke.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he's going to pick her over me.
Yeah. Then going back to Gen X Jerv. Gen X Jerv does take this Gen X versus the Millennials very seriously. He says, damn, Gen X, these ass whoopings got to stop. Y'all need to represent.
Poor Jervis.
Yeah. He also tweeted about, Ken has pretty boy problems. A lot of us fellas can't even relate. Oh, he's like Steven.
Okay, I feel like Jervis has probably held hands with way more people than Ken ever has.
And also, he tweeted to at the Michaela B, you getting naked next week? Does your mama know about this?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yikes. How about
that? Hey, look, Michaela's mom, the only thing you need to know is that she is a millennial.
My kids that are millennials, they'll give anything a try. They'll try it with anybody and they'll try it 80 different ways.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Hey, it's for a reason.
Yes. And then Aubrey Bracco, another one of the Ko-Rong alumni that she...
Ko-Rong Queens.
Yes, Ko-Rong Queens. She tweeted out to Mish Fitz after the Hi Ken, "Damn, girl, he's everything I wish Nick would be. He seems like the kindest soul." Yeah.
Okay, my favorite sub storyline is 100% them just like trolling Nick.
Trolling Nick. Yeah. That's not nice. That's not nice. All right. And then one other person was tweeting during last night's episode.
Tweets, baby, tweets, Rupert. Tweets that are better than something that happened on Survivor. Rupert tweets.
Okay. You ready for the Rupert tweets game?
Historically, I'm pretty good at this game. And by that, this game, I mean the game you and Amy made up where you wrote fake Christmas Rupert tweets. Yes. And I killed that.
Santa Rupert.
Where I had to guess which fake Rupert tweet was really fake.
Yes. Okay.
I don't know. It was a mess, but I still won. So.
Yes. Oh, man. That you're just giving me stress that the holiday special is coming up. And I have to think of a million new things to talk about on the holiday special in 3 months.
Okay. Just get Akiva to tell you the story of Hanukkah. I'm sure we'll all
Is that it?
I think so.
Okay. All right. So here we go. Rupert tweets. Again, these are three real Rupert tweets that he tweeted during Survivor the other night and one fake one. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Number one. Okay. It's not a merge. It's secrets. Okay. Not a merge. Yeah, it's stupid. Secrets.
Whoever did write that, that was dumb.
Number two. Paul looks like Sammy Hagar without the money.
I do know who Sammy Hagar is.
Yes. Okay. Number three, you spelt out Y-O-U can't spell Rupert without the U. So Y-O-U can't spell Rupert without the U. Mm-hmm. And number four, David, there's a difference between Superman and stupid man.
I hated all of those.
So just to reset, it's not a merge, okay. It's secrets. Right. Paul looks like Sammy Hagar without the money. Number three, Y-O-U can't spell Rupert without the U. And number four, David, there's a difference between Superman and stupid man.
Okay, so I'm stuck between looks like Sammy Hagar without money, because that one's actually kind of funny. Mm-hmm. And I'm stuck like, and the Superman and stupid man, because that's my least favorite one, and I think it's so stupid that like Rupert probably could have written that. Oh gosh, I really have to follow my heart on my true journey here. That's Bachelor speak. You wouldn't know, you don't watch it.
Oh snap.
Oh, I don't know. Okay, I'm going with Sammy Hagar.
Okay, final answer.
Yeah,
no pumpkin. No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, my other answer, the really bad one at the end.
About David, there's a difference between Superman and stupid man?
Yeah.
No pumpkin, no.
Nope.
Okay, the first one.
It's not a merge, it's secrets?
Yep.
No pumpkin, no.
Those all,
okay,
all,
maybe the third one.
Those the were all one? The real Rupert tweets. The fake
was
one
was the third one?
Y-O-U can't spell Rupert without the U. That was the fake Rupert
tweet.
Oh, I
got it right. Eventually.
A couple other Rupert tweets from the other night. Rupert, in response to the clip from Sunday that we keep playing.
I feel like my kids that are millennials, they'll give anything a try.
Rupert did not like that. He tweeted out, "Your millennials will try anything with anybody? That doesn't seem like something to brag about." Yeah, that's what we're saying.
Is Rupert's daughter old enough to be on Survivor at this point?
I don't know. It would be an interesting question to know if she is older or younger than Will. Because I think she was like 3 or 4 during Survivor Pearl Islands, right?
She was that young? I thought she was like 10 during All Stars.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if she was quite though.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting.
Why don't you Facebook friend her?
I feel like, see. Well, no, that's that turns me into a creeper.
Oh, do you even know what her name is? Like, can I lurk?
You know what? I feel like if I had multiple choice, Raya, I think it was.
Raya.
Yeah. And then
she's a real Raya Sunshine.
Raya Sunshine.
Right?
That's right. And then also Rupert got a little political. He said,
"Dear America, I'm sorry I didn't get elected governor of Indiana in 2012 because Mike Pence won And now he's running for vice president.
Was there a point to that?
It's just updating us previously. Oh, thanks. On
I hadn't heard.
Indiana. Rupert ran for governor and lost to Mike Pence.
You're right, Rupert. I hadn't heard about the American election the last 4 years.
Yeah, that could have been Rupert on the VP debate this week.
Can you effing imagine Donald Trump in Rupert Bonham?
Yeah, I mean, if you could imagine a reality TV star running for elected office here in America. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Rupert didn't win for governor of Indiana because people said, well, I'm not going to vote for a reality TV person to be, you know, elected official.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's what happened. Mm-hmm. That's what happened in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Haley Strong, H Strong underscore, the underscore did it again. Great job.
Thanks, Rob. I couldn't have done it without you.
Yes. Okay. Really great stuff. Of course, The Bachelor is in hiatus for now, but are the rumors true that we're going to be hearing some periodic updates from you and Rahap Recapper Amy?
Yeah. So what Amy and I would love to do, we've gotten a lot of tweets from various people being like, are you covering Bachelorette Canada? Are you covering Married at First Sight? Are you covering Bachelor Australia? Are you covering this? Basically, any show where people make out with each other, we get to
hold
like,
hands.
Hey, are you going to talk about this? And hold hands.
Yes.
So what Amy and I want to do is do like a monthly most love shows recapped kind of podcast where we basically just talk about, you know, every show where people are holding hands. So Amy's going to watch some and I'm going to watch some and then we're going to like talk about it. And then like Ben and Lauren, who just won The Bachelor like last season, they have a new show coming out. So we'll probably talk about that. So if there's anything you guys think we should talk about, even just like for a couple seconds, tweet at me at @8strong underscore and we'll see what we can do. So we don't know when that's coming out. We really do enjoy our vacations when we get it. So hopefully there'll be one coming out in October and one in November and one in December. So just keep your eyes on the Rahap Up subscription feed in your iTunes for that.
Okay. All right. Haley, great job. Good luck to your Blue Jays.
Oh, thank you. I'm already having like the getting like anxiety hives from it.
Haley, what is the hashtag today?
Oh my God. Which is the hashtag? Okay. First, something's calling me either towards Pink Eye or like Sunday's Millennials.
All right, why don't we just go hashtag 80 ways. I'm sure that nobody's still using that from the Boston Rob TV series from 2011.
Exactly. It's going to be all ours.
Yes, it's all ours. And that's it. That's it. We're going around the millennials in 80 ways. So there we go. All right, Haley, thank you again so much. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Rob. Bye.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Haley Strong back here on the podcast. Always very fun to check in with Haley. And of course, we're getting ready for next week to check in with Haley's good friend, Randy, and then voicemails with Miles and I. Of course, lots of BBOTT coming up here as well on the podcast. On Friday night, I will check back in with Alex and Taryn to discuss what is going on with our second HOH here. And then I'll be discussing some BBOTT again earlier in the week before we get into the next week of Survivor. So lots of good stuff coming up on the website. And of course, plenty of good stuff going on postshowrecaps.com. Josh Wigler just started a new Westworld podcast and our Walking Dead coverage is back around the corner as well. And I'll have a recap of this weekend's SNL with Rich Tackenberg. And of course, my weekly Seinfeld rewatch with Akiva Winokur, all on postshowrecaps.com. Thanks to everybody who's come on as a patron here at the start of the season. If you want to find out more about the benefits of becoming a patron and hear some of the patron only podcast that we do every week on our Patreon page, you can go and visit us. robhasawebsite.com/patron. Hope all of our listeners in the path of Hurricane Matthew are safe and sound, and have a great weekend, everybody. Take care. Bye.
Lucy made a noise in this episode. Shh, shh. Lucy made a noise in this episode. Lucy shushed Paul on the balance beam.